Luke chapter 5, we read there in verses 27 and 28 of that chapter. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he, that's the Lord Jesus, said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Charles Colson lived from 1931 through to the year 2012. He was an associate of President Nixon, and he was involved in the Watergate scandal. He was best known for being an extremely cruel and austere man. In actual fact, in 1971, the Wall Street Journal, they carried out an article on Colson, and in that article, they nicknamed Charles Colson the Hatchet Man. He was considered in the political realm as a man who was someone who could get the job done. He was a tough man, a cold man, a harsh man, a callous man, and he was known for doing whatever he felt was necessary in order to get the job done. In that same article, one source said Colson would walk over his own grandmother if he had to, if he felt it was for the good of the state. However, later in his life, he came to know Christ as his Savior. The Lord turned that man from being harsh and from being hard into being a very warm-hearted, compassionate individual. During his time, he actually served a short prison sentence. But whenever he was converted later on in his life, he was immediately given a heart and a love and a sympathy for those in prison. He even founded a prison fellowship which reached out into over 100 American prisons. You see, Colson was transformed by the grace of God from being a hard man, a tough man, a callous man, into a tender-hearted individual. And when you think about the transforming grace of God, it is vividly displayed in many instances in Scripture. And there is none perhaps more telling, more striking than the instance of Levi or of Matthew. Here was a man who was tough. Here was a man who was a tax collector. Here was a man who was known in society for being cold, for being callous, for doing what he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted. But here the Lord Jesus, he stops by him, he says to him two words, follow me, and immediately this man is a completely different kettle of fish. Out of the 12 apostles, Matthew was probably the most vilest sinner of the lot. In Matthew's own account of his gospel, he calls himself Matthew. However, in Mark and Luke's account, he calls himself Levi. He actually had two names. And these names, in these names, there is even an indication of the grace of God in his life. Because the name Levi, in the original text, it means joined. Joined. And it seems here was a man who was completely joined to his occupation. Completely joined to the concept of being a tax collector. However, the name Matthew, it means gift of Jehovah. And so here was a man who went from being joined to his occupation to experiencing the gift of God, God's salvation in his life, and then he became a gift to society around him. Christ, he comes, he calls Levi to himself, and he becomes a Matthew. He experiences the gift of salvation, and in turn becomes a completely different man in society. And in redemption, when we experience the gift of God, we then become a gift to society. We become a completely different and better individual. You see, salvation completely changes your life. It makes you from a Levi into a Matthew. It changes you completely. It changes your motives. It changes your thought process. It changes your intentions. The sinful desires that you have, they're subdued. And in turn, you're given a love for that which is good. You become a better man. You become a better woman. You become a better young person. And I wonder tonight, on which side of the road, as it were, are you? Are you a Levi? Are you still joined to the world? Are you still joined to your former, your old loves and your old lusts? Or my, have you become a Matthew? Have you experienced the gift of God, the gift of salvation? And in turn, are you known as being a gift to those around you? My, are you a different person? Are you a completely changed person? Are you known for someone as doing bad or someone who does good? This is exactly what happened with Levi. Christ comes, says two words to him. Follow me. Follow me. And we find he rises up, he forsakes all, and he follows Jesus Christ. And what does he do? He puts a spread on. He invites all of his friends and all of his family to come and hear the grace of God in his life. And he becomes a completely different person from this day forth. Oh, tonight I wonder which one are you? Have you experienced that change in your life? The change which only the Holy Spirit can produce. And so this evening we want, as it were, to journey to Capernaum. We want to come right up to this seat of the custom where Matthew was located. And we want to just see how the Lord stops and calls this man, Matthew or Levi, to himself. And how different an individual he was. The call of Levi. I want you to see firstly here, thinking about this call of Levi, notice with me a career which was despicable. A career which was despicable. We're told here in these verses that he was sitting at the seat of custom. This is a reference to Levi's former occupation before he becomes a Christian. You see, Levi was a tax collector, or as the Bible puts it, a publican. Notice in this career, his activities in this career. Verse 27, we read, after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. We're told here in this verse 27, that Levi was a publican. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that this man owned a bar and sold alcohol? No, it means he was a tax collector. Over in Matthew chapter 10, when Matthew sets forth the 12 disciples, as they were called, he calls himself Matthew, the tax collector. He was a collector of Roman taxes. And in mentioning his job in Matthew chapter 10, what was Matthew saying? He was saying this, I was a tax collector. Oh, how terrible a thing to be involved in. You couldn't have met a more despicable, depraved, or dirty job in Bible times. It's perfectly okay to be a tax collector today or to work in taxation. But you know, in Bible times, being a tax collector was really the same as having the same social status of someone in a mafia or even a drug lord. And as a tax collector, Matthew, here a Jew, he was hired by Rome, the Roman government, to collect taxes from Jews to give it to the Romans. Matthew was essentially viewed as a traitor. He was viewed for, or known for, taking more than was his due. That's really what the tax collectors were known for. What the Roman government would do would say this. They would say to each of their tax collectors, you go and you collect a certain amount. But whatever you take in addition to that, be it upon you, you can take whatever you feel is suitable. And Matthew took full advantage of those arrangements. Tax collectors were so untrustworthy, they were even disqualified from being witnesses in court. They were banned from public places of worship like the synagogues. Tax collectors in Bible times were the type of individuals that when you saw coming alongside the road, you made sure you made a beeline and you crossed the road so as you wouldn't be seen with them. They were termed in the same class as harlots and sinners. But we find Christ here. What does he do? He's going past the receipt of custom, this place where Matthew would have been collecting duty or collecting tax by those who passed by. And what does he do? He does the unthinkable. He stops with this tax collector. And he calls him to himself. He asks him simply to follow him. You see, rather than being the foe of sinners, Christ is the friend of sinners. He loves those that the world hates. Oh, tonight, how encouraging that the Christ of God takes interest in those that the world at times has absolutely no interest in. He sees the lost cause as a worthy cause. Maybe tonight you feel like that. Now you feel like Matthew, the tax collector. You feel down and out. You feel despised. You feel rejected. Maybe there's a stigma or a stain on your name, your past, a black mark. Well, Christ delights in transforming the seemingly untransformable. If he could stop and simply call this man compassionately to himself, saying, follow me, then he would do the same with you. I love how Christ is described in Luke 11, verse 19, the friend of publicans and sinners. Rather than casting off the sinner, he calls the sinner. He stops and compassionately calls you to himself. Oh, as we were singing there in that hymn before we came to this season of preaching, that the Lord, he loves not to pass by, but to stop with individuals. So the Lord would do that with you this evening. He would stop, as it were. Oh yes, others might pass you by. And in a cold and a harsh society in which we live in, I'm sure that you've had that experience. Some or others, they're passing you by, but the Lord never passes by those whom he will take an interest in. Perhaps he's doing that with you this evening. Just stopping with you right where you are and tenderly and lovingly and compassionately saying to you, rise up and follow me. George Whitefield was preaching on one occasion, and he made this statement in the course of his message. Jesus takes the devil's castaways. Jesus takes the devil's castaways. After the meeting, he was invited back for lunch in this home of a well-to-do couple. And through the course of lunch, the lady began to talk to Whitefield about his message. And they said to him, you know, Mr. Whitefield, I don't like what you said in your message. I don't like that statement, Jesus takes the devil's castaways. I don't actually believe that's true. And as soon as she uttered those words, there came a knock on the door. There was two individuals who had been at the meeting. And they inquired for Mr. Whitefield. George Whitefield came and he talked with the ladies and they said this, Mr. Whitefield, we're the devil's castaways. Will Jesus really take us? Oh, here was the devil's castaway. Here was Matthew, viewed as a traitor in society, despised, rejected of men, but not of Christ. Oh, the Lord stops and says, Matthew, you're the very individual that I'm interested in. And he called him to himself and said, Matthew, follow me. The activities in this career, I want you also to think with me about his attachment to this career. His attachment to this career. Verse 27, again we read, after these things he went forth, saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. As a tax collector, Matthew was hired by Rome to work for Rome and to eventually give to Rome. As if this wasn't bad enough, he was also buying into their system. The Romans, you see, they would stipulate a certain amount to be taxable, and they then left it up to the individual to take really what they wanted. Tax collectors in Bible times, therefore, were known for unfairly lining their pockets with as much as they desired. But in Bible times, there were two different types of tax collector. There was a group named the Gabbai, and then there was a group named the Mokis. And of course, the Mokis were the worst of the two groups. They were known for collecting duty or tax on absolutely everything. But you know, there were two types of mokes. There were great ones and there were little ones. The great ones, what did they do? Well, they simply sat back and they hired someone essentially to do their dirty work for them. But the little mokes, they didn't do this. They basically did it all themselves. And Matthew was the second group. He did it all for himself, by himself. And here he is stated to be sitting at the receipt of custom. This is a little bit like a toll booth, or somewhere that where you're passing perhaps through a border and you have to pay to get past. And it seems that Matthew, as a tax collector, he could have had an easier life. He could have went about it in different ways. But Matthew relished his career. He was completely attached to it. He did all of his dirty work by himself. As we said, this is indicated even through his name, Levi. It means joined. And here was a man who not only had one of the most despicable occupations in society, but he loved it. He loved it. And it was completely, he was completely attached to it. He reveled in doing his dirty work by himself just to make a few extra pounds. He loved this occupation. But that tie, my, it was not too tight that the Lord couldn't come and unloose that bond. And again, the Lord knew this. The Lord knew, I believe personally, that everybody would have known here was a man who worked on his own and who did his own dirty work, and the Lord knew that. Yet for all of it, he stops at this man at the receipt of custom and he says, Matthew, Levi, rise up and follow me. And whilst we may be tied up, the Lord can unloose those ties. He can give you a new affection for himself. Wonder tonight, is your heart bound up in something? Maybe it's not an occupation, but it's something else. Maybe it's even something legitimate. Well, the Lord, he takes no consideration of that thing that you're tied up with. He takes no consideration to the fact that you could be completely attached to something, even if it is your own way of life, and you're maybe putting it before him. It's your first love, your real love, perhaps even your only love. And what the Lord is saying to you is this: I want to unloose or untie that bond. He's saying to you tonight, it doesn't matter what you love. He's saying to you, rise up, be a man, and follow me. I wonder, would you do that this evening? Maybe there's something and you're just putting it before the Lord. But the Lord is stopping and he's saying, follow me. Follow me. My, leave it behind. Rise up and give your all to me. This is what happened with Matthew. Because there was a career which was despicable. But I want you to see, secondly, with me, a conversion which was simple. A conversion which was simple. Verses 27 through 28, we read, he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. The wonderful thing about Matthew's conversion is that Matthew was living in Capernaum. And if you know your Bible, this was the headquarters of Christ's earthly ministry. And it seems that he had just healed the paralytic man and forgiven his sins as well. And after doing that, demonstrating he came to, as it were, give life to the lifeless and forgive sins. It's as if Christ then wants to come along and publicly demonstrate this. I believe this with all of my heart. He has just declared something. Who is it that has, is it not better, or in answering the Pharisees, it's better to forgive sins or to say rise up and walk and so on. He's now demonstrating this tangibly in the incident of Matthew. And here's Matthew. He's sitting at the seat of custom one day. He's indefinitely there with other tax collectors. He's minding his own business, carefully watching for potential customers. And the Lord stops. And he says, now I'm going to work. Now I'm going to demonstrate what I have just pronounced. Now I'm going to show that I really can forgive sins. And he stops. And he sees Matthew. And he sees him perhaps even counting money. Maybe there with other companions, laughing and talking about how much maybe they had just made the previous day. And he sees Matthew. And there is no flashing lights here. And I want you to see this. There's something very simple, very ordinary about this. There's something extraordinary about it as well. But there's something very simple and very ordinary about it. He sees this tax collector. And what does he say? Follow me. Two words. Follow me. And how does this man respond? Levi. He responds in complete obedience. We find there, it says verse 28, he left all, rose up, and followed him. He left all. Don't miss the import of those two words. Or those three words. He left all. That means he left his career behind. He left his friends that he would have made behind. He left the money that he would have made from that career behind. He left all. He rises up and in obedience he follows Jesus Christ. And whilst conversion is miraculous, it is also very simple. In many occasions, there are no flashing lights. I wonder tonight, is the Savior simply but unmistakably and clearly stopping you where you are and saying, look, it's time. It's time to leave all. It's time to leave that thing that you've been putting before me. It's time to leave your fears and leave your doubts. It's time to leave all, to rise up and to follow me with all of your heart. Time to leave self behind and silver behind and live for the Savior. He's saying, flee, forsake all, and follow me. Now, what does it mean to follow Christ? It's a simple resting in Him for your soul's salvation instantaneously, and then a continual resting in Him day by day and a daily walk with Him. And this is what happened with Matthew. Was this a once off occurrence in his life that he just simply followed Christ on this one occasion? No, we find he followed him through the rest of his life. But you know, when the Lord came and stopped and called this tax collector Levi to himself, this would have altered things dramatically for the disciples. Because up until now, Christ had been just calling ordinary fishermen. You read about this in Luke chapter 5 in the opening verses of that chapter. Who had he just called to himself? He had called Andrew and Peter, and he had called James and John. These were upstanding individuals. There was no stigma with them. There was no baggage with them. But now Christ has done the unthinkable. Now he has added a tax collector to the list of his disciples. And Christ was showing this. I have power to forgive not only those on the clean road or clean side of the broad road, but also those on the dirty side. He was saying, I do forgive sins. I completely change. I completely convert. I completely transform. Yes, I save those who are upstanding and respectable in society, but I also save the swindler, the traitor, and the twister. You see, the Lord never makes a mistaken choice. He always makes a poignant choice. He delights in turning outsiders into insiders. Wonder, like Levi, perhaps do you feel like an outsider? An outsider perhaps in terms of church life, and an outsider perhaps more specifically in terms of the Lord and walking with Him. But tonight the Lord has just stopped you where you are and said these two simple words, follow me. Wonder, will you be obedient? Wonder, would you be like Matthew and rise up and leave all? Leave that which you've put before Him for many years and follow Him in obedience. D.L. Moody had a famous song leader. His name was Ira Sankey. They traveled throughout America for 30 years holding evangelistic campaigns. Moody was the preacher and Sankey, he led the singing. But what most don't probably know is that Sankey, before he was Moody's song leader, was actually involved in tax. He was age 16 when he was converted, and he then went on to work in tax for over a decade. As a Christian involved in tax, he began to do well for himself. He had a comfortable home, he had a wife, and he had a family. But at D.L. Moody, he saw him leading singing on one occasion. He was absolutely convinced that Sankey was the man to lead his singing during his campaigns. Initially, Sankey said no. He said, "I have too much going on. I've a good job, I'm married, I'm settled down. No, I'm not going to be your song leader." But eventually, after a year and praying about the matter, Sankey, he rose up. He left all. He left tax behind him. And he followed the Saviour in obedience to his call. And tonight the Lord is saying that. He's saying, "I know your attachment. I know that which you love. But it's time to rise up, to leave all, and to endeavour after me in a new obedience." Now, this is what happened with Levi. There was a career which was despicable. There was a conversion which was simple. I want you to see lastly and quickly that there was a change which was unmistakable. Verse 29 we read, "Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them." Dr. White said this concerning Matthew's conversion. "The only thing that he took with him out of his old occupation was his ink and his pen." Because after this, Matthew, what did he do? Well, he rose up, he followed Christ, and he followed him wherever he went. But he always followed Christ with his old taxation head on him. I believe Matthew would have been jotting down instances of the grace of God and miracles that Christ would have done and things that Christ would have said. Why? Well, because he had a gospel named after him. It was an eyewitness account of what Christ had done throughout his ministry. And this is what happened with Matthew. There was an unmistakable change in his life. And this is symptomatic of the wonderful, unmistakable change that happened and is immediately then demonstrated. For here, what does Matthew do? Well, as soon as he's converted, as soon as he is saved, he gathers together all of those who he's been involved with, publicans, tax collectors, those whom he would have known in the industry. And he decides, "I'm going to have a great feast. I'm going to spread the table. I'm going to invite all of my friends and all of those whom I know. And I'm going to invite as my guest of honor the Lord Jesus Christ." And whilst we're not told, I believe personally that Matthew at this meal would have pointed to Christ and said this, "Look, I'm not a tax collector anymore. I'm not even a Levi anymore. I'm not joined to my former occupation. I'm a Matthew. I'm the gift. I am a gift of Jehovah. I have been saved. I have been transformed." And here we find he, in demonstrating this change, he gathers all together and he tells them about the marvelous grace of Christ in his life. You see, he rose up, left all, but he told others about it as well. And Christ is not to be hidden. Christ, rather, is to be heralded. He is to be put on display before others. Wonder recently, have you perhaps just come to Jesus Christ? Maybe like Matthew, you've heard that call, "Rise up and follow me," and you've been obedient. Well, what's the Lord telling you to do? He's saying this, spread the table. Ensure that others know. Ensure that you tell others about that wonderful change that has been wrought in your life, that you now know peace and pardon, that you now know adoption and assurance, joy unspeakable. It's time to let others know. There was a Christian man in this province, and it was coming up to a big milestone birthday. It was his 70th birthday. His wife came to him one day and said to him, "Dear, what do you want to commemorate this memorable occasion in your life?" And he said, "I want you to go to the minister, ask him if we can have the land of the church hall." And I want to invite all of my family and friends for dinner, for a meal. But before we have the dinner, I want you to invite George Bates to come and give his testimony. And that happened, not too far from where we are located. And tonight the Lord is saying this: if you have rose up and responded to that call, you're now following Christ. He's saying, bring others with you. May I spread the table and let them know of the great and marvelous change in your life. The call of Levi. May the Lord do that in our midst this evening.